Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. And a lot more, too. And she uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Healthy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Brad.
As always, I'm looking forward to our time together. Where are we going to today?
Well, the first thought I had, actually, was that we've been listening to this song for 16 or 17 years. And every now and then I'll think, maybe we should change the song up a little bit. But then as soon as the music starts at 2 o'clock, it kind of sets me in this space of readiness that I don't know if I could ever change the song. So I do enjoy it. So
I understand. You know, when I go out and I make music together, I don't really feel like I'm ready to make music until I put a specific hat on my head.
Well,
and once that's done, I feel like I'm ready to go out and do it.
It's part of my uniform.
There it is.
So today is kind of a special day because I have my granddaughter here with me in the studio. And it's part of our second annual. I don't know if it becomes an annual, but it's our second annual Nana and Gusty Camp. We started it last year, the week after school got out, that both my grandchildren, Georgia and Barrett, come down and they get to spend an entire week with us, Gusty, his grandpa name, and me. And we just do fun things, and then their mom and dad go off and they get a little break and vacation for their time off. And so this year, I had some really great conversations with Georgia about what it is to be 9 years old, going on 10, just finishing third grade. And I thought, you know, that might be something interesting to share with my audience, because we talk a lot about families and parenting and children and teenagers and all the things they need, but we've never talked to anyone who was the under teen years. And I think that it's important to understand, or maybe to remind ourselves, how much the 5 to 13-year-olds, I would say in some cases probably as soon as they're verbal, 3 to 13-year-olds have to say, and the awareness they have of the world around them that we kind of overlook, that we spend a lot of time focused on adolescence and what, you know, teenagers go through and their rapidly changing environment. But I wanted to find out from Georgia what it's like to be her in 2025. And I will preface this by saying that we did not plan this. It is not scripted. We're both looking at each other a little nervous because I told her a couple of the questions I was going to ask, but not all of the questions I was going to ask. So that's where we're going to start today. And then for the second part of the show, I have invited guests to come in and talk about Camp Natoma, because part of the theme of today's show is how important it is to get kids out. Summer is calling. It's time to get outside and do life. And camp is probably one of the greatest ways for children from 7 to 17 to get an experience, a safe experience away from home, where they can challenge themselves and realize their potential or their resilience or their skills or their interests away from their parents, but still in a really safe environment. Because one of the challenges of child rearing, especially in 2025, is that there's way too much adult supervision, which might surprise people to hear that, but there is way too much adult supervision. The hovering, the helicopter parenting, plow parenting, where you're plowing the road ahead of your children so they never have to, you know, hit a bump in the road. Just there's a lot of over parenting. And one of the things that has come up, which I find fascinating, is that parents today, mothers specifically, full-time working mothers, spend more time direct hands-on with their children than stay-at-home mothers did in the 1970s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So in the 70s and 80s, when I was raising my first daughter, so I was starting in 1986, and I was a stay-at-home mom, you know, there was preschool time, there were play dates, they were going to the park, and I'd read my magazines while she was playing at the park. The hands-on piece was not really a piece of it. The kids were much more autonomous in their play. And that's one of the things that has led to the incredible level of burnout that a lot of parents talk about, particularly mothers, because full-time working mothers still statistically do two-thirds of the child care, two-thirds of the housework, right? They still have the bulk of the responsibility. And now we see statistically they're doing a lot more hands-on parenting than any generation before them. And I don't know if that's to the benefit of children, because ironically, we have children that are more insecure, more shy, lower self-esteem, less confident. You know, the whole thing that we think intensive parenting is going to give the children, it's actually preventing kids from developing those skills. And again, it seems counterintuitive. Our idea is that the more mothering I put into my children, the more developed and autonomous they will be. But that isn't true. What we're finding is the more hands-off we are, the more opportunities our children have to develop confidence, resilience, self-esteem, interests of their own, less depression, less shyness. And just as a total aside with this, the over-diagnosing of the spectrums of all the ways that children can be struggling has created an environment where parents believe their children are fragile and need special attention all the time. And my argument would be that the kids who would be on any spectrum need more time to be autonomous than any other child, because they're going to be over-parented and over-regulated, and that prevents their ability to thrive. So the theme for today is thrive. How do we help children thrive? And what is it that children look forward to and don't look forward to? And I'm going to be opening up the phone lines as well, because I'd like to hear from my listeners to hear what their take on summer is for their children. What activities are they have them involved in? Have they done camp? What are their camp memories? What comes up for you today as you listen? It's a whole gamut of opportunities to call in and share your thoughts as well. So this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and you can be part of the conversation today by giving us a call at 805-781-3875, or you can be part of the conversation after the show by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, or find us on Facebook or Instagram. I have very charming photos of Georgia and myself on both places today. You can leave us a message there. You can listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or also podcast our show. We are on Spotify. We are also on YouTube. So if you go to either of those or wherever else you get your podcast, look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe. And if you leave a review, that would be great, because that way more people can find us and be part of our community. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, start our conversation with Georgia Wojtowicz and our guests, Vivian and Poppy, right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place.
Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And welcome to the show, Georgia Wojtowicz.
Hi.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
All right. So you just finished third grade at Good Shepherd School. How did you do academically?
Very well. I am seeing in my STAR tests, it's a test that like shows you all of your like grades for your tests that you take at the end of the year, the beginning, the middle, and I think another time in between.
Mm-hmm. So those went well. And as you finish up third grade and get ready for fourth grade, do you know who your teacher is going to be next year?
Yes, her name is Miss Downing.
And are we looking forward to for Miss Downing?
Yes.
What makes
I'm
her
very
great?
Excited.
Oh, okay. What makes her great?
She is really enthusiastic, and I really like those teachers that are very enthusiastic.
Who was this year's teacher?
Miss Thompson.
And what was great about her?
She's very funny.
Ah, so funny and enthusiastic are two keys to good teachers in your world.
Yeah.
All right. What is something that you learned that would surprise me to know?
I learned, I don't think.
You didn't learn anything? The teacher was just funny.
No, okay. No, I thought you meant learning about something that would surprise you.
Don't surprise me.
Division.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Do you feel pretty confident?
Yes.
I love that. And when you're not at school, do you like lunchtime? Favorite lunch item that you take?
Usually I take like snacks and stuff like veggies. And
does your mom make you a sandwich or a nice hot homemade soup?
No.
What is going on? So mostly snacks. And then do you play at recess? Do you have outdoors where you get to play? What do you do?
Usually I play sports like Sharks and Minnows or ball tag or anything. Or sometimes I hang out with my friends.
Just hang out with your friends. Yeah. I like that. And who are your friends?
Victoria, Anaya, and Letty. Mm-hmm. And then also my best friend, Elle.
And how did you make those friends?
Elle I met in preschool. And Victoria, Anaya, and Letty I met in my first year of Good Shepherd, which was last year.
And what makes them good friends?
They are very funny and caring.
Okay. So I see a theme here with you. Funny is big. How about Nana? How do I rate on the funny?
Probably a 10.
Oh, good answer. And so you finish school. You have your group of friends. What do you do when you're not in school?
Play soccer. What else? Eat. And maybe do some arts and crafts. Anything related to sports is probably what I'm doing.
What are your other sports you like?
I like futsal, which is indoor soccer. Mm-hmm. I like basketball, volleyball, swimming. What else? Track. Anything else? Tennis.
So you're a sports person.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And so from a third grader's perspective, what is it that you look forward to in your summers?
I really like that you get the academic break.
Oh,
because
okay.
I just like sitting around and doing nothing.
But play sports.
Yes, playing sports is fun. But sometimes you have a lot of free time and you're like, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to find things to do.
But you like to have a little rest time.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what are you looking forward to this summer?
I'm really excited to go to camp with Elle.
Ah, yeah. So Camp Natoma.
Yes.
How many years have you been going?
Two. This is my third year.
And Elle goes with you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is it about camp?
I really like all the activities. The food's really great. I love, what else? I like campfire.
Do you like the evening skits?
Oh, those are fun, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a favorite skit that you've seen?
I don't know. They're all really funny.
Funny. Yeah. That's a theme. All right. So here's the hard questions. When you're in third grade going into fourth grade, 9 going on to 10, what are the things that you worry about?
Not a lot of things.
Oh, that's nice.
No.
When you do have worries, what are they?
Just about if I'm not good. Like good enough at the sport or...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're not good enough, what happens? Do you get sent to your room with no food?
No. Not like the wild things. No, not really.
Oh, so it's just you. You like to be really good at things.
Yes, I am very competitive.
Yes, you are. Especially when we play games.
Yes.
What game did we just master the last 2 days?
Cribbage.
Yes. And how many games have I won?
One.
And how many games have you won?
One.
I know. How can that be?
I don't know.
And when it comes to Nana and Gusty camp, what do you look forward to?
I really like camping with Gusty. I also love playing games with Nana. And I love the banana ice cream. That's really fun.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. And how funny we are.
Yes.
Because that is the theme. All right, Georgia. Is there anything that you want me to know that I didn't ask you?
Not really. Yeah.
What are you looking forward to when you grow up? What do you want to be?
I want to be any sports player.
Professional?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then after you're done with your sports career, what would come after that?
I don't know. Sit on the couch and read a newspaper?
If you find a newspaper to read, that would be fabulous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, here's my final question. If you had one wish for the world, what would that wish be?
That everybody can do whatever they want. Not like go crazy and okay. do all that stuff, but mm-hmm. like they have the ability to do things that they are allowed to.
Like what? Okay, within confines.
Within, yes.
Yeah, no crazy.
Maybe play more sports if they don't have that, or go to school, anything like that.
So have access to things to make yes. their life better.
Yes.
What would you rate your life overall, your quality of life?
10 out of 10.
I love that. All right. Well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and my guest for this segment has been Georgia Elizabeth Wytowicz. And we've been discussing what it's like to be third grade going into fourth grade, 9 going on 10. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a moment to kind of switch microphones here and invite our next guests in, Vivian Devaney Freiss and Poppy Brown from Camp Natoma. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Elizabeth. Thanks so much for having us.
So did the third grade answer surprise you at all?
I loved listening to Georgia's answers. I just felt so inspired and so affirmed, and it was just so great to hear her talk about what it's like to be a third grader these days.
And, of course, she's going to have high expectations for things to be very funny up at camp.
I
Can
know.
You guarantee Poppy, that?
Are you taking notes over there?
I definitely am taking notes. I saw her look at me when she said those funny skits.
Like, is that something you're in charge of?
Absolutely. Yeah. For sure.
So let me introduce you formally. Vivian Devaney Freiss, it's in my head, I hope I have it correctly.
You're good.
Is the executive director of Camp mm-hmm. Natoma. You grew up here on the Central Coast, spending your summers at Camp Natoma as a counselor and then as a counselor in training, a mm-hmm. CIT, and then a counselor. Mm-hmm. And now here you're back and you're going to be camp director as well as executive director.
Yes.
So I think you're busy.
Yes, lots of hats, but lots of fun and exciting hats. So it's good. And I have an amazing team around me, and that makes it a lot easier.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also you're a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And how many children?
I have one. He just turned one.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And will he be at camp this summer?
He will, yeah. So he will be doing his ears and tails the first evening fire. The fact that this is where I'm at right now is I still haven't really wrapped my head around it, but it's really exciting.
I know, because I would imagine it wasn't your plan when you graduated from college and set out into the world. What was your plan?
I wanted to be a museum curator.
Okay.
So I'd studied art history. I thought I was on a different path, and I found my way back to the Central Coast. I think this is a really hard place to quit. Mm. And I have siblings who were here. My family is still here. My partner's family was still here. So this was a really natural place for us to come when we were trying to figure out where we wanted to go. And 8 years later, we're still here. I've had an amazing series of nonprofit roles that have really solidified my desire to stay in this field and to probably stay locally, which is, again, something I had never really envisioned for myself. But we always joke, too, that when you come back around to Camp Natoma, or if you have never left, we have volunteers who have never left, it's really hard to quit it for a second time as well.
Yes.
And so there's been a little bit of time between my time as a counselor and my time coming back around. I've been a volunteer and board member, but coming back on staff, it's a really exciting time.
Well, I would imagine also with a one-year-old, you're seeing Natoma through a different lens.
Oh, absolutely.
For his future.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. I had an amazing conversation when I was pregnant with him, a little over a year ago, with a fellow Camp Natoma alum who had just had a baby herself. And she said something about, our babies will be campers together. They'll get to go to camp together. And it was the first time it had really come into focus for me. And like I said, at that point, I was a volunteer. I was getting involved with the board again. I was trying to figure out how I could be of service to camp. And it was, it just came into focus. Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to send my own baby to camp. And this place that was so transformative for me and for my siblings and for friends of mine that have come and gone over the years. And yeah, it's just it's such a special place. And to be able to have it mean so much so soon, and to be able to see the future like literally unfolding, is really exciting.
So for those who might not be familiar with Camp Natoma, can you give a little history?
Yeah, so Camp Natoma, we are coming up, this is our 84th year, we're coming up on our 85th next year, was established in 1941. We are located outside of Paso Robles here on the Central Coast. We're out in Adelaide, in Adelaida. And we're a really sprawling, very rural, very rustic summer camp. We started off as an all-girls camp, connected with a local service organization through Campfire. And over the years, the involvement of the folks at camp has changed. The camp opened up to become co-ed. That was long before I was a counselor. I believe that happened. I mean, sorry, a camper. I believe that happened in the 90s. And it was just it's been a really amazing resource for local kids on the Central Coast. And also we have folks who come in, or their family traditions have brought them back year after year, who come in from out of the area. So camp has been this really amazing staple. I would venture, I guess, to say that not a lot has changed over the years. Based on photos I've seen, stories I've heard, we have some amazing volunteers who have decades of history with camp, and they can tell you too that not a lot has changed. We've, you know, swapped out some flooring here and there. We've dusted and you know,
repainted
and put in some new cobblestones here and there, but the bones are still very much what they were when camp was established.
Because you are sleepy. The kids are sleeping out under the stars.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really unique experience. Our kids sleep on cots out in campsites, and we have mattresses. It's a very cushy, I wouldn't say glamping.
I think they're comfortable, though. I've slept on them.
They are. So we're not sleeping on the ground, but yeah, we don't have cabins. We don't have many outbuildings. Most of the buildings that we have are for things like our nurses' station. We have an office, our dining hall, but pretty much everything else is outside, including our pool, which is a really wonderful resource and kind of a big draw for summertime in Paso. If you're familiar, it can be very warm. And so the pool is a really great resource for us to get our kiddos in, get our staff in, and get everybody cooled off throughout the day.
And on the slide,
the water slide. Yeah. It's really fun. We've got a big twist.
And so the history of camp on the Central Coast has multiple generations of people that have attended. And I'd love to hear some of those stories of families, because you said your family grew up going. Did your mom and aunts all grow up?
Yeah. So my mom was a campfire girl here on the Central Coast and grew up going to Camp Natoma as a camper, CIT, and ultimately on staff. And she brought us to family camp in 2000. That was our very first experience in this generation. My mom and her sister brought me, my sister, and my cousins. And we went and did family camp, and it was just such a wonderful experience. And I was really lucky that my mom decided to get involved again after that. And so my siblings and I would spend our entire summers up at camp in the early 2000s, and getting to watch my mom reform her relationship with camp and come back after so many years. And then, you know, all these years later, I'm kind of doing the same thing. It's been really special. And camp has just always been a part of my family and my extended family, which has been really amazing.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to my guest, Executive Director of Camp Natoma, Vivian Tivani Price. And we're talking about the importance of getting kids out to do things in the summer and just in general, because a lot of research has come out in the last year showing that in many ways we are actually over-parenting our children. With our best intentions in mind to make sure that our kids have everything they need, we actually are giving them too much attention, too much time with parents, and there is a real need for kids to be able to experience kind of the world in a safe environment away from mom and dad, where they can make their own choices and decisions and pick out or choose the things they like, or to realize that they are safe and okay when they're not with mom and dad, that there are other ways that we we can be safe in the world. And I think that's super important, mm-hmm. That kids start to see that there are adults, grown-ups, places that are welcoming and loving and comfortable. We've created a real environment of fear in a lot of families in general, not just children, but families feeling like anyone that's outside of the family circle is somehow a danger. And so it's so important for kids to start feeling like that the world is a welcoming place. So that's kind of the overarching topic that we have today. And you're welcome to be part of the conversation. Our number is 805-781-3875. What are your thoughts on the importance of kids getting out into the world? Charlie, it's good to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I've experienced summer camp in several, one as a kid going to summer camp, and then as a young, older kid kind of helping supervise summer camp, then coming back as an adult and counseling in some of the camps, and I actually helped running a camp. Yeah, the Boy Scouts, growing up in Paso Robles, the San Luis Gia Council had a camp, Nacimiento.
Oh, Nacimiento?
And I think that was kind of nearer the mission. And then they, I think they started emphasizing Sierra Summer Camp for the kids, which I think pulled it away from people. But I've... anyway, serve in various capacities. And as an adult leader, coming back and helping with the troop, I helped with some of the, in the Bay Area, on some of the camps. Then I was, worked on that, was eventually tapped out as an adult, Order of the Arrow for the local Boy Scout.
And so what was camp for you as a kid, Charlie? What did it mean to you?
Yeah, it really got me out in a way. I think the importance of youth group, whether it's camp, it's contact with non-parent, non-teacher adults and a good peer group.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it is so vital and important that we start to kind of rethink what childhood is supposed to look like and not, you know, get away from the safety net aspect and try to make it more of a community. Because we talk about the importance of community in raising children, that it takes a village. And yet we've gotten ourselves in a place where the village isn't participating very much, that a lot of just the direct child care, child rearing is falling to parents. And that's exhausting.
Yeah, I'm glad that I've been able, over the years, have been in a position to not only participate as a kid, but lead and such as an adult.
Yep. Both ways. And again, we never grow too old to enjoy being outside and getting the fresh air. Charlie, thank you for calling in and kicking off the conversation today. This is A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And our topic today is getting kids outside, giving them an opportunity to thrive. And I have not one, but two guests. I actually have three with George as well. But our second guest from Camp Natoma is Poppy Brown. Poppy is the assistant director at Camp Natoma this year. Your third summer coming from Australia.
Yes.
to be a part of Summer in the Dirt. And mm-hmm. So what is it that keeps bringing you back?
I mean, I came to Natoma through Camp America, which is just an organization that you can sign up for, and I didn't get to choose where I was placed. Our director at the time, Diana, found my profile through this website and was just like, yep, you seem like a good fit. And the similarities between the Central Coast and my home are so, so similar that I just feel so at home here. I'm from Adelaide, and Natoma's in the Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
And like the coast here is just so similar to where I'm from that I just feel like the magic in the soil here is something that I just feel so connected to, especially in Natoma. I think there's just something about that place that just keeps bringing me back that I almost can't even explain.
Yes.
It's just magical out there.
And I hear that often, that you have to be there to get it.
Mm-hmm, totally. Yeah. They say
the road to camp, Camp Natoma Road North, is a portal.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So, yeah. I like the portal idea. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a theme of mine since this spring, these moving into these new spaces. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I guess is unique about Natoma is that how the kids get into camp mm-hmm. is on the big green bus.
Yes.
So parents aren't going in. It becomes a magical spot from the moment the kids are dropped off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. I think it's really special that kids get to have this place that is so theirs. Mm-hmm. I think it's really special to have experiences without your parents, like we've been talking about this afternoon, that is theirs and that is special to them.
Did you go to camp as a kid?
No, summer camp is not a thing in Australia.
Oh, okay.
It's completely foreign to me. I've just always been, like, I grew up watching The Parent Trap mm-hmm. and things like that. I was just always super interested in it, and I always wanted to try it. I didn't think I would end up at a place like Natoma. It's very different to my stereotypical idea of an American summer camp, but I was so blessed to have, like, the stars aligned for me to come out here, and I couldn't have imagined it being any better. Mm.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. My guests today, Vivian Tavani Freiss and Poppy Brown and Georgia Wojtowicz, are here to talk about how do we help kids thrive in a time where there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of disconnect from the natural world, and people feel like they're too busy and too scheduled to make time for things like getting out to camp. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation and take your calls right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on some of your mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. Well, the Junie bug comes in the month of June. The Lightning bug comes in May. Bed bug comes just any old time, but ain't not going to stay. Oh, there ain't no bugs on me. There ain't no bugs on me. There may be bugs on the rest of your mugs, but there ain't no bugs on me. Sitting on a lily pad, looking up at the sky. The lily pad broke and the frog fell in. He got water all in his eyeball.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. I played that song for you, Georgia. I know that's one of the family favorites. Now, I would imagine there's got to be singing up at camp.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
All right.
So, we love to sing at camp.
So, Poppy, because you didn't grow up going to camp, mm-hmm. what surprised you about the experience? And I kind of want to go to the evening fires part, but anything else that surprised you?
Absolutely everything. It was a culture shock, something I've never experienced before, but it was so much fun. I came into it, I think, very open-minded that I was, you know, going to experience something that I've never experienced before, that all these people around me have grown up doing, and this is their culture, and this is normal, and I've just been thrown in the deep end, and I'm like, okay, I'm outside, no phone, don't know anybody, in a different country, I don't know anybody, but it I just felt like Natoma is somewhere that, you know, I had only known about it. I think I got hired a month before I came out. Mm-hmm. I'd only known about it for a month, and I came out there and I was like, I belong here, you know. Even though all of the traditions that we have were so foreign to me, I was like, it doesn't even matter. I just belong here.
Mm-hmm. And so the evening fires, that's one of the longstanding traditions in the mm-hmm. songs. So how did you find your way through that?
Well, I think, you know, we do them every night. So evening fire is something that we do every single evening for the kids. And we sing so many different songs that obviously everyone knows. And I'm just sitting here like, okay, this is interesting, but I love it. And I think over time, like, we're there for so many weeks that I just – you pick it up a lot quicker than you would think.
Especially if it's night after night. And
night after night, morning after morning, every single meal. We love to sing in Natoma. So
they're catchy, too.
They're so catchy.
So, Vivian, what are the weeks and sessions of camp this year?
Yeah, so we, next week, it's hard to believe, is our staff week. It's where our amazing team of folks comes in and starts getting things ready for our campers to arrive. So that starts on the 16th. Our first session begins on June 23rd, and we go for 6 weeks. And we come in Mondays. Campers go back out on Saturdays, and we come back in the next Monday and keep the ball rolling all the way through the first weekend in August. So 6 weeks, there are still availability. I don't know if I can give a little plug, but we still have availability if folks are looking for something, if this is inspiring you, if this conversation about camp is, you know, picking at some nostalgia strings, or if it's something that you'd like to check out. We welcome and encourage anybody to send their kiddos, get in touch with us if they have questions, because there's lots of opportunities to jump on in. It's not too late.
Yes, for sure. I know a lot of people plan out the summers ahead of time, but mm-hmm. definitely carving out time. And a side note about the carving out time, you know, my husband and I sent our girls to Camp Natoma, full disclosure, from the time our oldest was 7 and she's 39 now, so a long time we've been mm-hmm. associated. And what I found out very quickly, I was sad the first time we dropped her off, like, ooh, I don't know, this is strange leaving my child. But about 12 hours later, for to have a whole week alone with my husband was phenomenal. So it became like our vacation mm-hmm. every year to have the kids at camp, because we knew they were safe, they were well taken care of, they were having a great time. So we could really relax and enjoy that time to reconnect as adults, as parents. And again, with our current culture that is so overscheduled, so busy, adults are so busy, this level of burnout that people are talking about is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And it comes from never having time to really reset and to clean your house and not have it be dirty. Mm-hmm. An hour later, like those simple things as mothers and as fathers, as parents, that, you know, to have a clean house for multiple days in a row for me became like the greatest gift of, I didn't care if I went to a spa, right, or trekking somewhere. I just wanted my house to be clean. And that was one of the gifts of camp mm-hmm. to me. 805-781-3875 is our number if you'd like to be part of our conversation. Hey, Margie, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind? Are you there, Margie? Hello? Hi, Margie. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
I was raised free range by my mother, who has a bachelor's in child psychology. She used to say this quote all the time, and I just looked it up online, and it was a Billie Holiday song.
Oh.
And ironically, reading Lady Sings the Blues right now, which is a biography of her. Anyway, this is the quote. Mama may have it, Papa may have it, but God bless the child who has his own.
Mm. Having some time on their own, right?
Who? God bless the child who has his own. Mm-hmm. As in, he has his own experiences. He has his own. He's been on his own enough in a safe environment without Mama and Papa. They already have it.
Mm-hmm.
But the child has to, only through experience can have it.
So were you a camp kid growing up? Did you have time on your own?
No, but again, she let us be free range. So we rode our bikes to the beach. We, I remember being a three-year-old and climbing up not a steep cliff, but a cliff, and holding onto this dog as it pulled me up. So we just explored all over the place. And,
The only rule was be home by dark, right?
Oh, totally. and by dinner.
Yes.
She was pretty laissez-faire. So I ended up raising my children that way. And to the extent that one friend said, Margie, you're raising your kids to be so independent, you're never going to see them at Christmas or Thanksgiving.
And was she right?
Not quite. Yeah. One's a firefighter and one is a medical administrator. So my daughter bought her first home when she was 25 in Long Beach. So, yeah, they're independent, let's say. But it's the way I wanted it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate sending in the quote. And I love Billie Holiday's music also and story. Thanks for calling in, Margie. All right. So, Vivian.
Yeah.
For you, what are your goals for the summer as the new executive director or camp director? Mm-hmm. What is it that you want parents to know about camp that that's going to benefit their children and their family?
Yeah. Poppy and I were just talking about this on one of the breaks. I loved your intro because it connects to our theme for the summer. Every summer we have like a motto or something that we kind of try to wrap around to not drive, you know, people's experience, but just give us kind of something to focus on. And it is on our T-shirts. It's on our, you know, advertising for the summer. And this year it's be outside, be inspired. And I think it's just such a, again, such a well-timed conversation about the ways that camp allows kids to explore the boundaries, to be outside, literally outside, but also just think outside the box, think outside of the norm. Like Poppy said, throw themselves into something that may be different from their own experiences or something that they couldn't have even wrapped their heads around doing. You talked about resilience, to build resilience. We really want to empower kids to explore, be creative, be inspired, get out into nature. Maybe they're not inspired by nature. Maybe they don't particularly like the bugs. How can we get creative in that space and problem solve and just find a way that camp can be what every child wants it to be and to find those unique experiences? Because that's exactly what we're here for. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to create the safe container that will allow kids to explore, grow, evolve, make friendships, and test boundaries in a safe way.
So if kids come to camp alone without a friend, how do they adjust?
That's a great question. I can speak for myself as a camper. When I would go, I would try to go weeks without my siblings or my cousins to try to push my boundaries. I was kind of a shyer, introverted kid. And I think the way that things are structured, you have your camp group, which is usually based on age and gender. So we will have kiddos based for their sleeping areas. And that's where you do things like your rest hour. We do capers, which are little like service tasks around camp after breakfast. And you'll do activities with your camp, but then we also encourage our kids to branch out and try new things and maybe meet people from other age groups and the folks that they may not be interacting with through activities. So we have archery and hatchet throwing for our older kids. We have hikes and nature walks. We try to do we try to get kids out and exploring camp and the perimeters of camp. And then we also will offer sports on the flat. We do drama. Oh my gosh, handcrafts, so getting kids out and doing arts and crafts. And a lot of our activities, too, rely on the time and talent of our staff. So if staff has something, I think there was a staff member last year who brought geocaching because it was something she was really into. So we have amazing opportunities for our kids, and that's where they can really blend and meet other kids and get to know people who may not be their same age, but who are maybe connected to them because they have a similar interest in something like geocaching. Or I think that there was Highland dancing last year too,
yes. Scottish dancing? Yes, we did.
That's amazing.
Yeah, what's your skill talent you bring in, Poppy?
Oh, not Scottish dancing. I'm not Scottish. I haven't brought my own special activity, but maybe there'll be room for that this year. We'll see. I'll keep it a surprise.
I will say Poppy has been really instrumental in helping bring some energy into our teen leadership program. And I think that that is the thing that she has brought to camp. Maybe she's not, you know, a Highland sword dancer, but she has really helped and will continue this year to help our teen leadership program be an amazing resource for our younger leaders, our older campers, those folks who we hope will come back as counselors and staff members one day. And that has been a really, really wonderful gift to camp to get those kids involved and feeling like they are a part of something bigger than themselves. That's been really powerful.
Totally. I love kind of segueing into that because that was the other piece of the conversation I wanted to have today. So we talk about getting kids out and keeping them busy in the summer, but I think the most overlooked demographic of childhood is the teens. That's still childhood from 13 to 17 or 18. That is still childhood. And technically, no one is fully formed as an adult till they're 25. So if we really wanted to stretch childhood, it would go in through 20s. But let's look at that 13 to 17 because I think it's very technical. tempting for parents when kids seem to be independent and have their own interests that they stop actually. They overparent when they're young, and then they stop parenting when they hit those teen years, and they give them too much leeway or too much time sitting in their room with their hoodie on playing games. And then they tend to take a back seat and don't utilize their authority as parents. And this is just a really a, you know, pro tip for parents, is that your teenagers need the parenting actually some ways more than your elementary school kids do. They need to have direction. They need to feel like they're a part of something greater than themselves, as mm-hmm. Vivian said. And they also need to be pushed into doing things that they don't want to do. Teens are really great at digging in their heels and I don't want to do that and that's not cool and I'm not interested. But most of it's fear-based mm-hmm. because they've become very self-conscious. From around 12, 13, they start to become very socially aware, very hyper aware of themselves and their place in the world. And so they stop taking opportunities to make friends the way that young kids do. They'll go up to a stranger and have a best friend by the end of the day. And so something like camp, working at camp as a counselor in training, is a great way to get teens involved in something that gets them away from home but in a safe environment mm-hmm. and learning leadership skills and learning to step out of their comfort zone. So I'm so glad that you talked about that, Poppy. How does the leadership CIT program work?
So we have our 10th to 11th graders come in and
going into 10th or
coming out of.
Yeah, sorry, okay. This is confusing for me. Yeah, coming out of, they sign up for camp, so they're at camp for a minimum of 2 weeks. And we use a curriculum that is made to feel like they are learning these skills, but I don't want them to feel like they're going to school because okay. that's where they're coming away from. They're coming to camp for freedom and to push those boundaries, but I want them to have a set learning experience where they're going to come away from camp having learnt new things that they can take home and then they can take to school and use in their everyday lives.
And as a resume builder for mm-hmm. those after-school jobs mm-hmm. that they're going to be looking for.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I've been a reference on a couple CITs that even I've had the past year, which has been so great, and I'm so happy to do that for them. But yeah, they are in charge of a lot of things around camp. They run the evening fire. They sing songs at every meal. They run the flag ceremony in the morning. They are in charge of entertaining the kiddos when the staff are trying to get ready for the activities and things like that, which is what we teach them during our CIT classes. We teach them how to harness these skills, how to nurture them, how to develop them. We look at each teenager and we say, what do you want to get out of this? Because I'm here to support you and to develop your interests and your skills and create goals, and I want you to meet them and feel like you're getting something really special out of camp.
If you're just tuning in today, you're listening to my guest, Poppy Brown, Assistant Director of Camp Natoma, along with Vivian, who is the Executive Director and Camp Director of Camp Natoma. We're talking about the importance of getting kids out and involved and maybe underneath the parental gaze a bit so that they can develop skills and independence and resilience that's so important to them. So if I had a it sounds like it's probably 15 or so coming out of that 10th grade. Mm-hmm. So if I have a 12, 13, 14-year-old who's never been to camp, are they too mm-hmm. old to start? Are they going to feel self-conscious having never been?
I don't think – I mean, they will probably feel self-conscious. having been a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl before, mm-hmm. I can speak to that for sure. I still – I always come back to just the way that camp is structured is really – set up for people who are coming for their first year or for their 15th year. You will find your people, you'll find your niche, you'll find your thing that you're interested in. We're not a super big footprint, and so you're kind of forced to get to know people yeah. and to interact and to work together. And the structure that we have for the day is set up so that people are constantly interacting with one another. They're having to work together to accomplish a task or learn a skill. And it really does suit someone who is a leader that wants to step out in front and be the one, you know, charging down the trail, or someone who may be more inclined to kind of hang back and observe. there's a niche for everybody. I really think the beauty of camp, the simplicity of camp, means that folks can show up as they are and find how they're going to interact with the space. And so, Of course, a 12, 13-year-old who may not have been to camp before may have some, anxiety about what it might be like or how they're going to connect or make friends. I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. There is a way to just fit right in. And if you're open enough to coming to camp in the first place, the rest will kind of take care of itself, I think. And I also want to give a plug for our staff. Our staff are really great at helping folks make connections and identifying those campers who may need a little bit more support or nurturing in the beginning, who may be dealing with homesickness, because homesickness isn't just something that affects our youngers. Oftentimes we feel that our younger campers are just like in it.
They're charging.
And it's the older campers that sometimes need a little bit more of a reminder that we're here and that that's only for a week, but there's so much going on. And maybe homesickness is kind of nipping at the heels a little bit. So I want to give the plug for our staff too. They're amazing at what they do. They have so much energy and enthusiasm. They really make it for a lot of our campers. And they are so good at helping people build those connections, build those relationships, and just looking out for their campers, because that's why they're there.
And isn't that part of the growth curve, is mm-hmm. to do something that feels a little scary, to experience homesickness, and then to realize, oh, there are places that I can go and mm-hmm. be safe and cared for and overcome mm-hmm. without my parents having to be the direct source of care.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, Charlie, your caller earlier had mentioned those caring adults who are not your parents. Those relationships are really important.
I do think it's really cool to see these kids have role models like us who aren't really in reality that much older than them. But, you know, coming into camp, if you haven't been before and you've got anxiety and doubts, and seeing the way that we act at camp, we're not embarrassed to sing these songs. We're not embarrassed to be enthusiastic about these traditions. We're all in and we care for these campers. And for them to see that, I think, is really, really encouraging and really positive. And they can go, oh, if this person that I'm looking up to and is really cool is like super into this, and I can be into this too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. To have role models is so important. Also, to have good, healthy people that mm-hmm. our kids can look to is so critical. This is a conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. And if you have a comment or question that you'd like to share, now's the time. 805-781-3875 is our number. Okay, so this comes up every year, Vivian. And I know that Georgia mentioned it because she likes to eat and looks forward to the food part of life. How is the food going to be at camp this year?
The food is going to be amazing this year. We have a returning cookie, which is our affectionate term for our very hardworking kitchen staff. They are the hardest working people at camp, hands down. And his name is Nathan. He's coming back this year. I heard glowing reviews about his food last year. I wasn't there to experience it myself. I will pass the mic to Poppy, who can share a little more.
Yes. Nathan's incredible. Him and I have actually been working on the menu for this year. The past week.
Insight?
Well, we have a tradition. The first night of camp every year is spaghetti night, which is always a crowd favorite. Mm-hmm. I think chocolate chip cookies for dessert mm-hmm. as well. That's yeah. another thing I think kids love about camp is we have dessert every single night, which is really, really fun. But yeah, Nathan is incredible, and I threw all of these things at him. I'm like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? He's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And he's really wanting to actually, like, bake a lot of things from scratch this year, which is exciting. I'm trying to, like, think of what we've actually got, and everything's left my mind, but I can promise that it's delicious and nutritious.
We have talked about bringing like a pancake breakfast back for our PJ breakfast, breakfast for dinner.
Yes,
we have a couple.
Right.
Yeah, we have a few amazing volunteers who will come up and barbecue for us, which is always wonderful too.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah. So yeah, lots of good ways. Food nutrition is so critical for our kids, especially who are throwing themselves in there and being vulnerable and trying new things and swimming every day. And it can be a lot. And so we really do try to focus on that that food component because it's important. And also breaking bread, to come back to the question you had about the social interaction, sitting down for a meal with your camp every day, three times a day, and just decompressing together, commiserating about something. Maybe if something's a little, I remember being a camper, I should say. I will not throw Nathan under the bus. I remember being a camper and saying, like, what are we having for dinner right now? But you build that connection together a little bit. And that's just so critical too. So those opportunities to continue building connection, usually our lives revolve around the dining hall.
Yeah, totally. It's just like really
home.
Cool. Uh-huh.
It's just like home.
Yeah, it is. And we have our counselors and our staff and our CRTs actually rotate through the tables, so they get the opportunity to talk and get to know everyone at mm-hmm. camp.
That's one of the best parts. 805-781-3875. Is this Lisa?
Yes, it is.
Hi, you get the last call, Lisa.
Oh, okay. I will make it quick. I'm part of an organization that puts on the Big Sur Jade Festival, and we raise money so that we can send kids on the south coast of Big Sur to do something educational during the summer. And four of the kids have chosen Camp Natoma.
Aww.
And two of them are returnees. The two going into ninth grade are returnees, and they absolutely love it.
At least I love that. And I love, thank you so much for your organization raising funds to help get the kids to camp, because camperships are a big part of how mm-hmm. we open up camp to all different demographics.
Mm-hmm. You bet, you bet. And it's really not just camp. They can choose anything during the summer, but four out of the 11 have chosen Camp Natoma.
That's fabulous. Well, Lisa, I hope you'll get in touch with Vivian, because we'd love you to come down and get a tour of camp so you can see where you're sending the kids.
I was just going to say that. Hi, Lisa. I think we've been emailing. It's so great to hear your voice. And yes, anytime.
Yes.
We would love to welcome you down to camp.
Thank you,
okay,
Lisa.
Great.
Thank you for taking
the
time. Thank you. Well, that's good to know, because mm-hmm. camperships are important. Mm-hmm. If people don't have children they're sending to camp, how can they help make it available to everyone?
Yes. So camperships are a big piece, like you said, Elizabeth, about getting access open to kids who might not be able to come up to camp otherwise. Folks can donate on our website. So I'll give a little plug. The website is a great resource for anything. If you're looking for information about how to get involved as an adult or an alum, we love hearing from our alumni. If you're looking for, if you have questions about what it's like to send your kids to camp, and I will just say we have availability all 6 weeks this summer. The dates are on the website. Registration link is on the website. And any other opportunities, if you would like to donate and contribute to our campership fund, which is how we send kids to camp that can't afford it, that information is linked on the website as well.
CampNatoma.org.
CampNatoma.org.
CampNatoma.org. Vivian, thank you. Poppy, thank you. Georgia, thank you for coming in today and being part of our conversation. Thank you to everyone who tunes in every week to support us and be a part of our conversations right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Oh, I'm headed to the mountains. I'll be back in a week or two. Don't you try to reach me, 'cause I won't pick up for you. I've got some things I need to do. Don't you try to reach me, 'cause I don't wanna talk to you.